Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the nest here on this Monday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, cut down day in the National Football League is tomorrow. Got to get down to 53, get your practice squads all ready to rock and roll as the regular season begins next Thursday with Philadelphia Super Bowl champions last year taking on the Dallas Cowboys. But John Harbaugh met with the media after Saturday's game. And then, of course, over the weekend, as the Ravens are back at practice today. But Vinny brought this up earlier. Ravens been forcing a ton of turnovers preseason. Had three of them, three picks on Saturday, including Martin's pick six. And here's John Harbaugh talking about, I guess, practice paying off in regards to turnovers.
Right. It's been intentional. I mean, it's been something that we've been thinking about, talking about, drilling, practicing, trying to make sure we try to make it happen, try to challenge our offense as much as we can because it's good for your offense, too, to protect the ball. Work against each other in that way, and I thought it showed up today just like you expect, want it to, just like you would hope it would. And now we got to continue down that road, make it show up during the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they had three. Was Hams they call interception or fumble?
The picks were, hold on, I got the box score right in front of me here. Martin, Graham, and Armored Davis had the interceptions.
Oh, so Ham got the fumble.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean they got a bunch of turn. And Bob, when you're out at practice, that's all the players talk about. That's all they talk about. And with their new grading scale and stuff, you know, they're talking about turnovers. You know, and when you hear a lot of them, you know, in their interviews stuff, they're talking about we need to get more turnovers. We need to get more turnovers. And Jonas wrote that article about, you know, Lamar's been throwing more interceptions at practice. Because they got a bunch of DBs that can catch the football, and they're better players than they've had in the past. They have more, you know, and they get their hands on tipped balls. Ball gets tipped to pick. So I just think it's the guys are so much better in the secondary. I think the Ravens are going to get turnovers this year just because they've got the dudes in the back end that are going to be able to get it done.
Because their turnover differential last year was, think about it, rather disappointing because the offense didn't turn the ball over at all. Almost. I mean, Lamar threw, what, four picks?
Yeah.
And you had your fumbles there. But, I mean, Buffalo, for instance, their turnover differential was astronomical. So
they were
Ravens
over plus 23 or something.
Which, as the Ravens saw in the postseason.
Yep.
So forcing more turnovers puts them in more of a advantageous situation going back to their elite defense years.
Well, the thing about it is just think, I mean, Bob, they were the number one scoring team in the league anyhow, over 30 points a game. Can you imagine if you're, you know, instead of a plus five, you're a plus 20, and you talk about getting short fields and opportunities to get more points? They'll get a lot more points that way. And then you know what? If they get turnovers, Bob, and they're like a plus 20, there's a lot of games that in the fourth quarter – just running the ball. You know, they're just putting the game away.
John Harbaugh was asked about the third safety job in the battle between the young players trying to earn that thing.
Yeah, you know, I feel really good about those guys. I think Malachi is going to play really well. He's a rookie. You know, we all have to understand that, you know, he's going to be a rookie, but I think he's a very advanced rookie. Of course, Kyle. And then you've got Sanusi and Bo and Ruben. Those guys are going to be a part of that too. So We thought we had our Darius, you know, and it didn't turn out that way. But I'm happy with the way those guys have played. And I think you got to play to their strengths. You know, you look at what Sanusi can do if he's out there and play to his strengths, or or, you know, Ruben or Bo, if they're out there, you play to their strengths if they're on the field.
How many safeties do you have?
Three.
Making the
53. I have Bo making it just because of special teams, Bob. And you know, when you hear Harbs talk, all right, what do you want Bo Bray? They use Bo in a lot of different areas. Closer to the line of scrimmage, the better for Bo. Sanusi misses a lot of tackles, too. He doesn't break down and misses a lot of tackles. And Lowry missed a couple tackles in that game Saturday, too. But he just seems to show up. And the thing with Lowry is, and I think why Lowry is a definite, he can play corner and safety. You know, so he gives him some more flexibility.
So true safeties, you have Hamilton, Starks, and Bo Braid?
Hamilton, Starks, Bo Braid, and Sanusi Kane.
Okay.
So you got four.
All right. Vinny and Haney, 105. So the fan news from the Nest, Tyler Loop, well, he did well. Saturday, kicked a 61 and a 52, and the 61 at distance. Ryan in Baltimore says he's going to break the NFL's all-time distance for a kick. What's it, 66 yards? Justin Tucker a few years back. But here is John Harbaugh talking about the rookie out of Arizona.
Well, we wanted to get him a long field goal. So, you know, we're going to try it back there at 63, I think it was, before we hit the screen pass. And then we got the screen pass. Then we went backwards again to get him over 60 yards. So see how well that worked out for us. But it was a great kick. It was nice to see.
It was right down the middle, and it hit up into the screen. And, you know, I mean, to me, he made it fairly easy. He's got a powerful leg. It, you know, and all of his kicks have been – has he missed just one kick in the preseason, correct? I think one field goal in the preseason.
Right, and even he would like to have that back, as John Harbaugh said.
That's what the one he stubbed his toe on, the 5-for-6, when he was 5-for-6, yeah. And the PATs – We're you know, all good. So, consistency, man. Regular season, that's what he's got to be, consistent. Just don't cost them a game. That's going to be the big thing. And for a rookie, it's going to be difficult. And him breaking the record, I mean, it seems like Aubrey seems like he may be that guy from Dallas, and then we can't count out the Jacksonville dude.
Little.
Yeah. So, kickers are getting better, you know, with distance and stuff. And 66, yeah, it's gonna go bye-bye.
And then finally, Rasheen Ali, we're just talking about him. So John Harbaugh, where does he fit into the roster if he fits at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'd be a depth running back part of it, obviously, you know, but he's proven he's proven himself to be a good back, you know, in the preseason. And then he's a big part of special teams right now, like he's starting on every special teams right now, so something would have to change for that not to be the case. So, yes, dynamic kickoff return. He's on the punt team. He's on the punt return team. He's on the kickoff team. So he's a big part of that right now.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right.
So, I mean, to me, that kind of – I mean, Harbs is a special teams dude. He's on the first every team's guy. To me, he's a valuable commodity, you know. So are you looking at him as a running back? Or are you looking at him as a core special teamer? Kind of like, you know, last year we had all those extra linebackers, you know, and that's kind of, you know, with Board and all those guys last year. That's kind of how I look at Ali, I'm guessing, because I don't see him unless a running back got hurt, Bob, I don't see him seeing the field at all in the running game or on the offense.
Video at 81057 The Fan. Welcome back. Buy or sell. Let's count some early week money and talk about sports subjects of the day, which are plentiful. Orioles tonight taking on the Red Sox, 6:35. Jerry Palm previewed the college football season with him that just started over the past weekend, but really it's rolling this coming Labor Day weekend. And up on lunch, 1 o'clock, American League East report at 1:15. Once we get into next week, we're just going to start breaking it down, divisions and the big matchups that are going to have ramifications on all of the playoff races. Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com, talk about the National Football League season. Kansas City has had a big time grasp on that AFC West. Does that slip away? Buffalo's dominated the East. Does anyone even challenge them this year?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Eddy, Vinny Serrato. Orioles and Red Sox tonight, 6:35. Sagano taking on, basically an opener, as they call them nowadays. Bernardino, lefty for the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox just took 3 out of 4. From the Yankees, Orioles lost 3 out of 4 to the Astros, yes. But remember, they swept the Red Sox little mini-series last week, trying to hurt their chances of catching Toronto or holding off New York. But we'll get into that as the show progresses. Ravens getting down to 53 like the rest of the NFL by tomorrow. And then college football very much alive in our worlds as we're approaching Labor Day weekend. Got that and more, but right now, let's count some money, buy or sell.
Well, the Dow is down 227. But after last Friday, it was up like 900, so the Dow is 45,404, which is, I think, all-time highs. S&P's down 1. NASDAQ is up 70. DraftKings is down 62 cents. Under Armour's up 3 cents to 508.
Let's start by talking about the Ravens' defense. A wild 2024 season for them, where they were among the worst in the entire league to start, but then finished top 10 in both points and yards allowed. That final second half of the season, they were beyond exceptional. 16.9 points per game allowed, which ranks as, in that time frame, the best mark in football. On the year, their average, though, 21.2 points per game. Just the second time in the last 8 years that they've allowed more than 20 points per game in a season. They made a lot of moves this offseason to their secondary to ensure that that rough start that we saw last year doesn't happen again, but we'll see how the depth holds up. Vinny, buy or sell, the Ravens will give up less than 20 points per game in the 2025 season.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it. And the only reason I think they would is if somebody, if they get some injuries over there. Otherwise, you know, Marcus Williams caused them a ton last year. The communication, you know, caused them a ton with those Bengals games and stuff. So I don't see that happening this year.
Over to the Orioles. They're going to meet the Red Sox again tonight, the start of a 4-game set. Well, that's music to the ears of Gunnar Henderson, who was fired up the last time these two teams faced each other. Trevor Story's hard slide at his legs at second base took exception to that, but took out his frustration on Boston pitching, which is what he's done pretty much his entire career. I could only find one game, because Bob, you mentioned this last week, his numbers on the road at Fenway.
Reach base every game they've played there.
So I took it a step further. Show me all the games against Boston, home and road.
Look at you doing some research.
Only one instance. You got to go back to September of 2023. Just one game in Gunnar's career against Boston where he has not reached base. The other 36 games against them, well, at the very least, he's worked a walk, and more often than not, doing a lot more damage than that. Buy or sell, Bob, those numbers continue these next 4 days. Gunner's going to be on base at least once per game.
I'm buying it. He's going kind of a heater offensively, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's playing mad, and again, we can go back to whether or not it was a cool slide story taking him out of the foot. Mike Bordick did bring up a good point last week. Oriole Hall of Famer, former shortstop. Middle infielders usually don't do that to each other. That was kind of the unwritten rule. Maybe that's what Gunnar took offense to, but 100% buying it. As a matter of fact, I'm taking it another step further. He's going to homer in at least two of these games.
I like that. Like that a lot. How about the Browns? They've got a quarterback dilemma to sort out. Very crowded room ahead of tomorrow's roster deadline. But what happened in Saturday's preseason finale has left some Browns fans scratching their head. Shedeur Sanders, he got limited reps and didn't look great, but was removed in the fourth quarter ahead of the opportunity for a 2-minute drill or a game-winning drive. Tyler Huntley got that chance instead. And what's his fate? Well, he's already been cut, so it was never really a part of their long-term plans, but they gave him the chance for that crucial drive. Buy or sell, Vinny, Shedeur Sanders, rather, should have been given the opportunity to finish out that game.
I'll buy that. You know, the only reason maybe not was because he'd been sacked 5 times and he was probably holding the ball, and maybe they wanted to give Huntley last shot, but Shedeur was struggling. So maybe they were just trying to, you know, we're protecting you from you.
How about a little NBA here? A few months ago, there was the gambling saga, really gambling issue. Malik Beasley at the center of it. I was put on, I don't know what you call it, exempt list, whatever it was. He was off to the side, this full investigation into him, others. Well, we got an update on that. Nothing has been determined in terms of punishment, but Beasley is not being sought as a main player here, I guess. He's no longer the main target, which means that he may be a step closer to actually finding a home for this upcoming season. What makes this interesting is that prior to this whole gambling debacle coming along, Beasley was about to put pen to paper on a contract with Detroit. 3 years, $42 million was the reported price tag. Well, things are very different now. The Pistons have made moves to bolster their depth without him. Doesn't seem like that same offer would stand anyway. Buy or sell, Bob, the stink from the gambling investigation will prevent Beasley from signing anywhere in 2025.
I'm selling that. He'll find a home. He was cleared by the league, which I guess gives you carte blanche to get back into it. He was kind of an integral part in the Pistons reestablishing themselves as something worth watching in the NBA because they were bad for so long. And he brings a veteran presence. He can bank some threes. He'll find a home. Again, towel waivers make $20 million in the NBA. Guys that can help. I mean, he'll waltz in there making more than Gunnar Henderson's going to make this year.
Well, last week on Vinny
and Hayden. Let that sink in.
It's sinking. It's sunk in. It's deep in there. We were giving away tickets to the Maryland State Fair all last week. And I said to our promotions team, I said, we need more. I said, we need more. The demand is so high. Well, we got more for you. Never let you down here on Vinny and Haney. Four tickets again every single day this week to the Maryland State Fair running through September 7th. Enjoy rides, music, food, and more at the Maryland State Fair. Today's lucky winner will be caller number 10 at 410-583-1057.
Caller number 10. You heard the number. 410-583-1057. Go to the State Fair on us when we come back. Talk college football. Jerry Palm from palmbrackets.com. Talk about the upcoming season, Maryland's hopes. What's the Big Ten looking like? And is Arch Manning a guy that is a lock to come back in 26? Because Archie said yes. But Arch said, let's pump the brakes on that. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing yet.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BBT, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services at 5:30. Me, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix will be at. It's going to be a beautiful night downtown. Come on, watch the Orioles try to be spoiler to the Red Sox. But let's talk a little college football. Season started over the weekend, and by definition, there was an upset already. How many could we see this weekend when things really get rolling? The SEC's new schedule mandate. How's the Big Ten looking? Here to break it all down as only he can. From palmbrackets.com, the website. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. So welcome back to the show for the first time since, what, March Madness? Jerry Palm. Jerry, how's your summer been? And thanks for joining us again.
Been interesting. Never a dull moment. I'm glad to be back into the season. It's kind of funny. I think you and I might have different definitions of upset. that Iowa State, Kansas State game.
I go by really a point spread.
Yeah, well, for me, it's like if it's not a touchdown point spread, it's not really an upset. But, yeah, that's all right. We can fight about that.
I mean, fair enough. Hey, look, it's not even September. We're not fighting about anything yet when it comes to football. But what do you think about the new schedule mandate for the SEC, the conference games, but you still have to play the big fancy out-of-conference team? Is this something that the other Power Fours are going to have to follow suit with?
Well, the ACC is the only one that doesn't play nine games, so left now after the SEC moves. So we'll see what they do. It's kind of hard when you get leagues this big and you're only playing eight conference games. You'll go like 4 years without seeing I guess depending on how they rotate the teams, you could go a decent length of time without seeing one of your conference opponents. So I think you need to play at least nine. So at least you're playing half of the other teams in the league in one season. I just think it's really hard when the leagues get this big to keep it at eight. And the ACC is probably going to have to do something about that too.
Now, Jerry, before we circle to the national level, we'll bring it back home here. We are the flagship home of the Terps. I'm a longtime season ticket holder. Used to be 13 years, but it is what it is. They're not in your bowl projections for now. And I think only one outlet that I've seen has them in there. Expectations are low for Mike Loxley and Purdue, among others, in the Big Ten. As you look at Maryland, what are realistic goals for them? I mean, could they possibly surprise and at least eke out six wins, seven perhaps? Or is this another season doomed to a long 4-8 year, which really puts things under the microscope in the offseason?
Yeah, there are some who think 4-8 would be better than expected. Obviously, you know, they've got three games they can win at the beginning, you know, and then you get into conference play and their home games are Washington, which is making, you know, a three time zone trip. So there's something there, perhaps Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan, they'll probably be underdogs in those games. At Rutgers, maybe they won't be an underdog. We'll see what Rutgers is like, but there aren't a lot of games on this schedule where Maryland's going to be favored and they're going to have to pull an upset or two to probably get to a bowl game. And win the games that they're actually favored in.
Jared, who do you like winning the Big Ten?
Well, I picked Penn State. Ohio State's got the schedule advantage. They get Penn State at home. They actually get, of course, Texas at home this week. So that's two of the top five teams in the country that they get to play at home. They're at Michigan, but I don't think that home field matters as much in that game as it does in some others. Yeah, Ohio State is pretty well poised. I predicted Ohio State to win the regular season matchup with Penn State and then lose to the Nittany Lions in the championship game when it's no longer someone's home field. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think those are the two strongest teams. Oregon's going to be good. I have them projected to the playoff again. And then, you know, Illinois could be good. Michigan could be good. Michigan, of course, starting Underwood at quarterback. Indiana, I don't, you know, we didn't know what to expect last year. You know, this year's going to be another year where they get at least a, something of a schedule in the league. Last year they had, you know, just accidentally really the easiest schedule you could possibly get in Big Ten play. That won't be the case this year. So we'll see if Indiana's up to snuff and playing a tougher schedule.
Is Texas the team in the SEC, Jer?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that Texas is, I think, a legitimate number one. There's half a dozen teams. Maybe you could have voted number one, and probably that many got first place votes. But, you know, they've got to go to Ohio State. And then they, you know, at the beginning of November, they go to Georgia. And they're an underdog at Ohio State, last I saw, about 2.5 points. They'll probably be an underdog at Georgia if Georgia is what we think they are. You know, they could go 10-2 and, you know, still be a really good team, probably would get in the playoff and would probably be one of the favorites still to win it. So, yeah, I think they're certainly on the short list of teams that is capable of winning the whole thing. And obviously, you know, Arch Manning has now got the full reins of the team and, you know, get that really good early test at Ohio State. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Really a huge game for both of these teams in terms of, you know, not just the playoff hunt, because they could both make the playoff with a loss, but, you know, getting a good seed perhaps in the playoff.
Jared, what do you think of C.J. Carr? You know, I mean, on the road Sunday night at Miami, and then he's home against A&M. So he's got two tough games to start the season.
And then they're done.
Yes. the schedule is nothing.
They still have USC, and I don't know how good USC is going to be, but, yeah, if they can survive these first two games, Notre Dame has a chance to go unbeaten. It's funny because a lot of these teams at the top of college football, they don't all have new quarterbacks, but a lot of them are starting not just new quarterbacks, but, you know, freshman quarterbacks. And obviously Texas is, you know, Arch Manning has gotten a little bit of time as a backup last year, but so he's not completely green, but he'll be his starting job for the first time as well. Georgia has a new quarterback. It, you know, some of these new quarterbacks, how good some of these guys end up being could end up, you know, really telling the tale in terms of whether or not these teams make the playoff or what kind of a seed they get when they get there. Because almost all of these highly ranked teams, Penn State, of course, a notable exception with Drew Aller, have got new quarterbacks this year. Not just new quarterbacks, but freshman quarterbacks.
Jerry Palm joining us, video at Haney 1057 The Fan. PalmBrackets.com is the website that Jerry's going to talk about here in a second. North Carolina, based on point spread, Jerry. They're underdogs against TCU at home this weekend, getting three. What are your expectations for old Bill Belichick in his first year at Chapel Hill?
Make a bowl game. And then, we'll see if they can do better than that. They should be good enough to get into a bowl game. But, it's a team where you don't really know a lot of new players, new coaching staff, obviously a legendary coach. But also, it just seems like a lot of noise, extraneous noise around this program because of Belichick's girlfriend. We haven't heard anything about that in a while, so maybe that'll quiet down. But as long as they don't have all this distraction because of that, they should be a competitive team. Clemson is clearly the class of that league. There isn't really any reason why Carolina couldn't compete for second.
Jerry, tell everybody about the website, palmbrackets.com.
Yeah, back to my roots as a self-publisher. Palmbrackets.com right now is football only. Basketball will get geared up as the season gets closer and, we have all the team schedules and stuff like that. So sometime in October, probably the basketball portion of the site, but it's bowl projections and statistical things that I like to do on my website. And so you'll find out everything you need to know about teams. I don't do a lot of individual stuff. I'll talk about them, but I don't keep individual stats on the site, but you'll see some team information on the site and of course the bowl projections.
Jerry, appreciate your time as always. Great to talk to you. Look forward to talking to you for the next months rolling through March Madness. Of course, you mentioned October. We're going to be feeling the buzz around these parts. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, you know what I mean? Jerry Palm, always great to talk to you. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, thanks.
There's Jerry Palm, everybody. PalmBrackets.com already has the bowl projections out. It's pretty cool. Go check that thing out. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Take a phone call or two at 410-583-1057. Get to Nolan's Funhouse because we couldn't go there last hour. Got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. American League East report. Interesting weekend for the American League East. Boston and New York went head-to-head. Not a great one for Anthony Volpe, let's just put it that way. And then Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com. Buffalo, Kansas City, which team is most likely to lose their hold on top of the division?
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, we'll start here with Trevor Rogers. Another great start for him yesterday. But what does his future look like? Does he get an extension? Texter here says, I think he would jump at the opportunity to cash in on his recent success. Maybe he views the organization better than others because they made the move to bring him here when he wasn't at his best and have uncovered better results.
Well, doesn't hurt to ask.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you go for it. See if he's interested. What's the price tag now? As he's pitching he's up there in the top five pitchers of baseball based on recent performance. Question is, how much is it going to cost? And how long are the Orioles willing to go? And are you looking at this as, it's 12, 13 starts, not something we can hang our hats on for 3-4 years. Maybe go 3 years at, insert 25 mil a year. We go in there, 3 for 75.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep in mind he is here next year no matter what.
Right.
Okay. Has one more year of arbitration.
Four for 70, four for 100.
It's hard to say. I think if you're doing it now, the Orioles would have to get some sort of what they view as a discount, right? It can't be like a free agent going rate that you're going to pay him, as good as he's been. There'd be no reason to do that now. Why wouldn't you just wait another year to pay him that big money then? So if the Orioles are going to do it now, they'd have to get some sort of deal, in my opinion.
Correct.
Some sort of savings. Texter here says, Basayo's profile makes him more attractive as the Orioles' future catcher rather than Adley. The power is off the charts, and I don't think he's as bad behind the plate as some may think. Plus, Adley, not a Gold Glove guy to begin with. If anyone should be moving from behind the plate, it will be Rutschman. Hope he gets some run at first base next spring, because he's going to need that opportunity to stay with Baltimore.
Yeah, Basayo had that ball that flew into center field yesterday, not to judge on one throw by any stretch of the imagination. I'm talking about living in a world where they can coexist together.
Well, Bob,
I don't think that's an impossible task.
They were talking this on the morning show. Bob Nightingale said that Adley Rutschman's going to be the biggest trade chip in the offseason.
Bob Nightingale said that?
Yeah.
And if Bob Nightingale says it, we might need to keep our eyes on it. Speaking of throws, am I the only one that was stunned by Dylan Beaver's lack of arm strength? You had a guy tagging from first to second on a fly ball to left, wasn't even close, Correa, and then on the fly ball that scored a run. I mean, it short hopped the cutoff man.
We're not judging Basayo on one throw, but we'll judge Beavers on one?
That was two.
Two.
All right. Did you see another one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they were like, was there like a passenger on that ball? Or, all right, never mind. I don't want to turn it negative. Next.
Let's see a text here from Cooper in Ocean City wondering if the CBA expiring in baseball, that is, coming up here in 2027, would maybe push some players like a Gunnar Henderson to want to lock up a long-term deal now before financial security becomes a little more iffy in a year or two.
See, that's all based on possible salary caps. And baseball history said that it's not going to happen.
Nope.
And the players have said, like Bryce Harper told Manfred to his face when he told him to get the bleep out of the clubhouse. We'll sit out. We're willing to risk games. And who gets hurt there? The fans. As usual. I mean, we're 30 years removed. Cal Ripken's 21-31 celebrations coming up in less than 2 weeks, which, you know, at the time, say baseball. You don't want to relive that. Nolan, you didn't live that pain of a canceled season, and which was a great, that 94 season was awesome. And the Orioles were good. No World Series. That was going to be the first year the expanded playoffs and all of that. Tony Gwynn was pushing 400. He had a bunch of guys chasing 60 homers. The Expos had the best record. No, don't want to see it. So I'm saying no, that's not going to happen because the players will always have the strength financially.
Right. And is there realistically anything that would stop Gunner from getting that $600-700 million that he desires? The only thing that's going to stop it is himself.
Injury.
Either performance or injury based. Yeah. There's nothing the league's doing that's going to, you know, change his money.
And he's having a bad year based on his previous output, and he still rates as one of the best players in baseball. And he's been brilliant defensively.
And last text for now is also money and contract related for the Orioles. This one says, I would like to see Westberg re-signed for sure. I would even make a run at bringing O'Hearn back in the offseason if he'd like to be here. As far as Gunner and Adley, I think they're both overpriced, and especially if you intend to keep Jackson Holliday as well. Just no way to keep all three.
I'd rather have Gunner over both of those guys.
Totally.
And I think Westberg's going to project, if he stays healthy, as an all-star level player for many years to come. He's been an all-star level player already in his career. He's just got to hit the post. But he's a Scott Boras guy. Scott Boras guy. He's insert player A. I'd love to sign him. Scott Boras representative. Yeah, well, let's see if we can sign this other guy. Nope. That's why we're talking about Trevor Rogers like he's Jim Palmer all of a sudden. Because he seems to be the most signable, and we don't even know that. We're just speculating and hoping. See what you did, Orioles, when you signed Basayo? Now you got us hoping you could sign more. Moving forward here. But yeah, Dylan Beavers, what the hell was that? When we come back, NFL lunch, hear more from the Ravens, American League East report at 1:15, and then Miles Simmons from ProFootballTalk.com. Preview the AFC East and the AFC West. Could we see an unseating of the longtime champions?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.